This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Finals Week 1 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, have you got a highlight of the week past?
Yeah, we had F1 on the weekend. For anyone that doesn't know, the weekend was Monza, which is the Italian Grand Prix.
It sounds boganish, though, doesn't it? Monza! Yeah, right, the Monza!
but yeah, it's one of the... It's the Italian bogans, the Tifosi.
It's written on your chair, I've just noticed.
Yeah, racing chair.
Anyway.
You know, there's a fair bit of overlap with Bogans and wannabe Ferrari drivers and everything. So it's a famous circuit because it's very straight, very, very fast. It's the fastest circuit on the calendar.
Right.
And the fun part is that Mercedes is actually coming back to the pack now. They've been the dominant car for a few years, and now Ferrari have actually started to come good. And so have Red Bull. And Renault are starting to catch up in the last couple of races, which is great for Aussie Danny Rick. But in this one, we saw some things that just were real highlights. The first being Max Verstappen fucked up everything and decided to have to start from the back of the grid. So that was a good start, because fuck him. And another part was Sebastian Vettel decided to just lose his fucking mind, really. He was running, I think, third or fourth. And then, for no reason whatsoever, span... on a chicane, which normally these drivers take blindfolded, missed a wall, and then decided to rejoin the track and hit another car that then spun off, that then rejoined the track and hit another car. Nice. So it was a whole fucking train wreck of sort of things, and he ended up getting a stop-go penalty and all that sort of stuff, which ruined his race, and he had nothing to go with. But the other fun thing was Lewis Hamilton, who, while a fantastic driver, can be a bit of a whiny knob in the car. I mean... You know, he's complaining all the damn time, and then when he wins, the race engineer's like, yeah, I told you so. And he's like, who's the Ferrari young lad, 21 years old, and couldn't do it. Had fresher tyres, had the position on him, just couldn't get it done. And then he swapped over with his teammate. His teammate couldn't get it done. So the clerk became the first one in, I think, about 15 years to win Monza for Ferrari. And he's not paying for a drink
in Italy. Must have been pretty popular.
Yeah, it's fair to say. I mean, he's French, which is as close to Italian as the Italians have right now.
I was going to say, I don't think they mind too much. No. The car's Italian.
Yeah. The funny thing is, Alfa Romeo was on the grid as well, but no one gave a shit.
Yeah. Brenton, you got a highlight of the week?
Well, mine were kind of F1 related as well. Like, going to Monza, the funniest part for me was qualifying in Q3, the last session of qualifying. They all basically have one flying lap. But in Monza, because it's so straight, you wouldn't want to be the person that's giving us the slipstream, so no one wants to come out.
They normally have toes, so you'll have teammates. One teammate will go ahead to sort of absorb the air, and the guy behind gets a bit of a toe.
Yeah, and so they've played the game where they come out for the last flying lap at the last possible minute, but no one wants to be first. And so Renault decided they've got this. They do a lap at the start of the session, but that's not going to be your final lap because the track warms up and shit. And so Renault were... fourth and fifth at that time, so they sent one of the drivers out first, which made everyone else come out. They intentionally made him make a mistake, so he backed the whole pack up, and then no one got to do a flying lap except for one car. One car got to do a proper qualifying lap. Still didn't improve his time.
Yeah, they're all walking pace throughout the whole thing, and they had like 2 minutes to a lap, which normally takes about 1:40. They all fell short, and the funny part is they started to realize we got to get a move on, but then the guys at the front, I think Leclerc was at the front, and he's like, I can't improve my position. Fuck it. You can go around me.
I think it was Sainz and Hülkenberg were just like, we ain't moving.
Hülkenberg's like, I'm fifth, bitch. I'm loving this.
Do they get penalties or anything like that for holding up?
They can if they're on a flying lap, but they weren't on a flying lap. But they do need to do a certain speed, even on their cooldown laps, between safety car lines. But apparently they were underneath it.
So it's a bit like in footy when you've given away a free kick and you point at the bloke, like him?
Yeah,
that exactly. One? Is that who you want me to give the ball to? Yep. The only bloke within 50 metres?
Yeah. And the other exciting thing about Formula 1 is I got into a rabbit hole of watching Lando Norris and Max Verstappen play iRacing, basically their highlights.
Right.
And so after the race, last week in Spa, they raced for 6 hours afterwards. They actually raced Formula 1.
Right.
So they went online, got their own little setups, and they live stream it on Twitch.
But, little setups. They're not fucking little setups.
Yeah.
It's massive. Pretty much an F1 simulator that they're driving in.
And they are fucking hilarious because they just take the piss out of each other and the other driver in F1 grid. So I sat there watching them basically take the piss out of each other and Lando replaying Max Verstappen fan songs to him while he's trying to race. So I had this fucking song that goes Max, 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 Super Max, 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 just stuck in my head for fucking ages. But if you can see the highlight, check it out. It's actually pretty funny.
See, I reckon they should have a driver's channel where they can just sledge each other.
Well, that's basically this, yeah. And like this new generation of drivers is fucking amazing. They're incredibly talented, but they've got obviously the outreach through iRacing on Twitch, which has been incredible to watch.
Yeah. My highlight of the week was actually last night. About 3:30 in the morning, I woke up with a bit of a coughing fit. I just couldn't get something out of my throat. But anyway, I thought, oh, well, that's woken me up. I may as well check the cricket scores. Yeah. And 9 for England were down for. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ, this is close. I might get up and actually watch it. And then the 10th one fell as I was watching the ball-by-ball replays. Not replays. The ball-by-ball updates on the phone. I thought, oh, well, I was there for it when the 10th fell. And then I watched all the wickets fall on Twitter, thanks to Nine Wide World of Sports.
It is funny. One of the ex-English bowlers, I think Harmison it was,
yep,
came out and said, no one's going to like Smith again. Like, it's always tainted. Like, yeah, he's fucking belting the shit out of the ball, though.
We say, well, you're averaging 140.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can argue, yeah, he made the wrong call as a captain, and fuck yeah, deserved to be suspended.
Yeah.
But nothing he ever did tried to get an extra run. And Harmison was one of those players who was using the lollies on the ball. So
he was in the team when that happened. Yeah, definitely. And he's a fast bowler. So
he's fucking doing it.
He was the one that the first ball in the Ashes in Australia, he bowled it and it ended up in Freddie Flintoff's lap at third slip.
Yeah, yeah. So look, I'm not suggesting that I have any more knowledge or capability to pass judgment than any of his player, but... No, he's a dickhead.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that's what he'll be remembered for.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Smith is going to be remembered for scoring about 300 more runs than the next bloke.
Yeah. Do you reckon he'll enjoy his second captaincy?
Well,
Payne was looking fucking vulnerable for a bit there.
Yeah, but...
But putting Labuschagne on turned out to be a masterstroke.
Yeah. But do you just go, you know what, he's scoring too many runs, maybe without the captaincy that suits him?
Maybe don't fuck it up. He wasn't doing bad with the captaincy either, though.
Yeah, true, but he's had a fair old series.
See, the funny thing to me would be if he went, front of the ACB and said, you can be captain again if you want. And he's like, well, all right, I guess I'm ready for it. And then Warner pops up, how about me? And they're like, you can fuck off.
I think Warner might be in a bit of spot trouble. I don't know if he should be lining up for the fifth test.
No.
He had one good innings in the first test, I think.
Yeah, it could have been.
I think it was 80-odd.
Yeah, it might have been the second innings of the first test, but it was early on anyway.
Yeah. And it hasn't really shaken the books too much since.
No, we've got a pair in this one, so.
Yeah, but Labuschagne, he's been a brilliant...
Find of the summer.
I mean, mind you, I wouldn't recognise a bloke walking down the street, I don't think, but I know the name now.
Yeah, exactly. Manus, the Queenslander he is. But, that was exciting for the cricket, and it gave me a reason to stay up for another half hour at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I did like how they asked Tim Payne, they're like, how are you feeling about this? And he's like, well, we haven't won the Ashes, we've just retained it, so we're looking forward to the fifth test and winning it.
Yeah, you've got to say that in front of the cameras.
And they're like, so, what are you going to be doing in the meantime? He's like, oh, we're having a big one tonight. Yeah. Fucking massive, mate.
And they certainly did. They interrupted old Chompers when he's doing his live cross. which is good viewing if you get a chance to have a look at it.
It was a flat-out sprint to him.
Yeah, they were loving it.
No, fuck it. You got to enjoy yourself, don't you?
Exactly.
Especially over there. Like, it's so rare that an Australian team carries a series or even draws one. internationally.
Well, I was saying before, you know, Tim Payne, the accidental captain, as they're calling him, is now retained the Ashes on English soil, which is something that Michael Clarke never did. Steve Smith never did.
Steve Waugh was the last one, I think.
I don't know if Steve Waugh did. It was either Mark Taylor or Steve Waugh, but that's not a bad old effort.
Well, I mean, Steve Waugh was probably the best captain of my era, I guess.
I don't know.
Or Ricky Ponting would be up there.
But it's a little bit spoiled. I mean, you're going through the eras where you had Langer and Hayden belting the piss out of everyone, and then McGrath.
Yeah.
It's really not fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I could have captained them.
Yeah. Warnie, can you bowl? Yep, all right.
Warnie, Glenn, each end.
Yep. Where you want your fielders? All right, yep, yeah. No worries.
Langer, Haydos, fucking smash it. Job done.
Are we going to declare it 650 or 7? All right. Yeah. All right, anyway, we'll get into a bit of the footy, seeing as we've got finals. I think my tips were 50-50 this weekend. They didn't go that great. And I think actually might not have even been that. But started off on Thursday night with the Eagles doing a number on Essendon. They just looked too good all over the ground.
Yeah, it was a flattering scoreline for Essendon, to be honest.
Q was well and truly in the rack.
It was shit ass.
Yeah. And the Eagles are just tuning up.
Yep.
But we thought this would happen too. We thought Essendon were kind of lucky to get that last spot, and it was pretty much shown. That's where they are.
I mean, the first 5 minutes, and we said on the podcast last week, if Essendon get out to a quick lead, they're a chance. Mm. And as soon as Eagles went in at quarter time with a lead, you know, nah, game's over.
And just the way that it was played as well, was just, you're just waiting for West Coast to just really tune in,
yeah,
and start, yeah, you know, hitting targets. And they just cleaned up so easily with going forward in the, yeah, contest. There wasn't really a whole lot of winners of the ground for Essendon.
Not much structure going forward.
Yeah.
Big Nitnat looked like he had to miss a step.
Yep.
That chase down of Saad.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. I've never seen him run faster.
The choke slam was pretty decent too.
Yeah, it was great. Well,
that's very interesting, that one too, because old Zachy Merritt's pulled on a dreadlock. And
I play dumb games, win dumb prizes. That, but there were comments saying, you know, it was a thug move or whatever. No, that's just what happens when a bantamweight tries to piss off a heavyweight. Stay in your weight zone.
The thing is, if you pull someone here, that's a fight. That's the start of a fight.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I mean, it's dumb as fuck. You don't grab someone's hair for a start. And much less someone with dreadlocks, and much less someone who's bloody a foot taller than him.
6'8", yeah.
I mean, they're already whooping your ass.
Yeah, and he is a massive unit. Like, Nick Nat, he has long legs, but he has massive fucking guns.
He's a professional athlete, and he's 6'8". I mean,
yeah.
I think I'm in the minority, though. I still reckon he should have got a game for it. Because, yeah, fair enough, you got your hair pulled. But as any baby boomer would tell you, that's your fault for having long hair. Really, you can't be throwing people into fences.
This is not the most controversial non-suspension of the week.
No, we will get to that.
I think by that same token, he has to get reported for pulling hair.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I think he got a fine. No, he got a fine for
it. The AFL loves a good fine.
Yeah,
but and Nick Nat did come out and say he'd do it again. Yeah. And I thought, I don't know if that's the right way, champ. You know, turn the other cheek and all that.
Well, I guess coming into finals, you kind of got to say that, don't you? Otherwise, they're going to just
do it every week. Again. Well, I mean, Ben Stratton got a week for pinching.
Yeah, but he's a cunt. For pinching and stomping.
No, he got a week each for pinching and stomping, but he got a week for pinching, which is apparently worse than throwing a bloke into the fence.
What did he pinch, exactly?
Everything.
The back of his arm.
Yeah. Yeah, tricep. Might have stole someone's car or something.
Not Ben Cousins pinching. Pinched a tank. But anyway. There was, and I think Nick Nat also was so dominant in the ruck. Bellchambers.
Same thing.
Yeah. He obviously has had his own injury worries in the last couple of months, but geez, he was made to look second rate.
Because he is.
I thought he'd been very good before he got injured.
He's been decent, but if you talk about who are the best ruckmen in the AFL, I don't think he cracks top 10.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't name 10 ruckmen in the AFL, to be honest.
Sean Grigg.
Sean Grigg.
Yeah. I don't think anybody was really that surprised by the result.
No, I mean, you're already sort of hoping it was going to be... Well, I was hoping it was going to be a real hard-fought contest and they both wipe each other out, basically. I don't want injuries, but I want, you know, concerns.
You just want them to absolutely slog it out.
I want someone to be, you know, a test for availability next week.
I was kind of shocked Heppel got 30 touches. I didn't see him the ball that much. Yeah, like watching the game, I didn't think he had that much impact.
Somebody had to. Yeah, it's one of
those. Still might not have that much impact, but just, yeah, I know sometimes the ball just falls in your lap and you do fuck all with it.
Yeah, on the other hand, Dylan Scheel, I thought, had 15 contested, which is the game high, but they needed that. Like, there was no easy ball for him to get. Yeah. He's normally best when he's out on his own.
Yeah, and again, though, I mean, his disposal is what usually gets him in trouble, but a lot of the times he's looking up and everything was covered.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to kick to a free target when there are no free targets.
And also, they tend to like letting Saad run off and do the Bashahuli, yeah. Johansson sort of style.
Breaking lines.
They could really use the Bashahuli.
But he doesn't have the depth of kick.
No, not as much. And even the one where he did start to get on his bike where Nick Nat ran him down, he still got his kick away, but you could see the kick only went 35 metres and it landed in the lap of an eagle. If it went 40 metres, it would have landed in the lap of another eagle. If it went 50 metres, it would have landed in the lap of another eagle. Mm. So, you know, there wasn't much for him up ahead either. They were just beaten. You know,
well, it was just a better side beaten in the coach's box more than anything else. That structure there, when you've got no options, that's sticking to a very good structure.
Yeah, they were, but, I mean, it's easy to stick to a structure when you've got the better players too.
Mm. Well, I mean, that does help.
You know, and I think, what did Essendon have, 6 inclusions going into this one? So they were rolling the dice.
Yeah, but again, that's the coach's call, or the match committee's call. But
yeah.
They've backed the coach for another season as well, up here.
They have, finally.
Suckers.
Now, isn't this interesting? Because there's been a lot of speculation over the last couple of weeks, and there's been a few media saying there is speculation. And then on, I think it was on Sunday, where the CEO actually came out and said, no, he is definitely coaching. And then all the Essendon supporters are going, see, they're all wrong. I'm like, no. If they were wrong, he would have said that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
They were still speculating.
Yeah. No, I think they just wanted to see if there's anything better out there. And there really isn't at the moment.
Maybe not.
Like, if you do get rid of Worsold, who you get in? Like Scott Richardson and...
You test the market, you know, you look out there, Bangers Harvey is still running around. I'll tell you who everyone's forgotten about is Mark Williams, who's coaching Williamstown in the VFL, Werribee in the VFL, who I reckon he left the system far too early.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was his choice, though, right? He just didn't want to...
Couldn't be fucked anymore. Want a flag?
Not really. I listened to his Sacked podcast, which is really, really good. But at GWS, they basically wanted to pay him, you know, $100,000 to coach. And he's like, guys, really? And then at Richmond, he kind of got squeezed out as an assistant because of the soft cap and that kind of stuff. But, you know, he wanted to be a head coach as well. So if you can't be a head coach at the top level, he'd be a head coach at the next one down.
Yeah,
that's what I took out of it. But anyway. That's the end of Essendon. A point that somebody did make on Reddit was that nobody has celebrated an Essendon finals victory on Facebook or Twitter.
Right.
Because their last finals victory was before those platforms existed.
2004, 2005?
Something like that.
Let's keep that up.
It was lovely. All right, on to Friday night, Collingwood and Geelong. One of the more talked about games from the weekend. Fascinating game it was too. Not high scoring, but geez, there was a lot of angles to cover in this one.
Yeah. See, I don't mind the not high scoring games and the finals in particular. If it's a grunt and a grind, I'm okay with it.
If it's a good contest, that's all you want, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was great to see that they played this down at GMHBA.
Collingwood did it on the banner as well.
Oh, what? They played at the G, really? Oh, I didn't fucking hear about it. But I did see, too, Eddie got up and complained about his players wearing white shorts. Said it led to confusion. It's like, mate, just... No.
Just take one.
For a bloke who never pulled on the Guernsey, he's got a fucking big opinion about it.
Ah, well, it's what he's paid to do. Have opinions.
Is he? Really?
Yeah, he's a journo.
Literally his job, yeah.
Yeah.
Back to our opinions. He's on it. I thought Collingwood were very, very aggressive at the start, and that's what got out to a full good start, 4-goal lead at the start, but it cost them some injuries. Had...
DeGoey
went down. Who's the other one that was out in the first? Or someone else, well, I can't remember, but they're a test anyway. But it still shows that, I don't know, maybe there are still a few little weaknesses in that team with injuries, and they might not be as full a squad as what they're being purported.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. They've had a pretty rough injury run, well,
again,
for a decade.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've sent Elliot over, sorry, DeGoey.
DeGoey
over to Germany. To see Healing Hans for the calf blood surgery or something.
Well, I mean, they've got the bank to do it. Why wouldn't you? Try everything. Try and get him back because this win isn't enough for them, obviously. They want to go on to the big one. And like, he's their best player when he's up and running.
Yeah.
So you do everything to try and get him back.
Well, the weird part for me, and Frank Costa mentioned it as well, to not play Stanley when you're playing against the best ruckman in the league.
Yeah.
It's a weird call.
Well, it is very weird too, because I heard one of the assistant coaches, and I think it was Corey Enright, but I could be wrong, on the radio beforehand, and he said, yeah, we've looked at the radar and we decided that it's going to be a bit wet, so we'll play, was it Jordan? No, it wasn't Murdoch. It was, Meningola. They played Meningola instead of Stanley because they thought, you know, it's going to rain. But everyone else went, we've seen the radar too, and there's no rain coming tonight.
Yeah.
So if your reason is, you know, what, we're going to lose the ruck anyway, let's get another midfielder out there, then say it. But why?
I know Jane Bunn fucked him over.
Why lie? Like, I don't get it.
I know, but, well, maybe they fucked up. The funny part is that since then, Geelong were chasing Todd Goldstein, and then they sort of cooled off on him, and he was ready to sign a 3-year deal with North.
You reckon they've heated up since?
They have. They've thrown an extra $200,000 at him.
Good on him.
Per season.
Old, it's going to be hard for Goldie to say no.
I know, right? $600,000? Fuck. That's really... like, he'll be expelled from his yeshiva if he knocks back $600,000.
But, I mean, at his age, too, you go, well...
He's 31. Like, I mean, shit, he should take it. I don't want to see him go, but that's good money with a long contract. Fucking go, lad.
I thought the field kicking of Collingwood was the best I've seen from them all year. There was plenty of times where, you know, they get the ball across half back, and Jeremy Howe was an absolute monster. Geelong were giving up that little 30-metre pass, and Collingwood said, fair enough.
Take it,
We'll take three of them. That equals 90 metres.
A game of inches or centimetres.
Or metres.
Or metres, sure, we'll go with that one. But yeah, Collingwood they play their style of game. Obviously, it is unfair that Geelong are playing at GMBH Stadium, but I don't care. It's not my team.
Yeah.
They're still going to be able to win at MCG. If you're a better team, you still should beat Collingwood at MCG.
You hear that so often, though. Like, you get teams, like West Coast is famous for it, complain all the time about having to travel to the MCG and then complain about not having enough games at the MCG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we can't move the MCG to you, lads.
But at the same time, like, everyone starts the year knowing that's what's going to happen. So
Stop
fucking complaining about it.
And there are plenty of teams that play less games. I think North had one game at the G this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It might have been two. But
could have been three for main finals.
Anyway, but the point is, you know, that's where the grand final is going to be. Like, it's no surprises.
Forget a plan.
You can argue about it. And even Geelong whinging about not playing at GMBH Stadium. It's a shit stadium.
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't want to play there anyway.
No. See, I quite like it. It's got its own idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, but it's the narrowest stadium going around, so it's...
That's just because there's a road on one side.
Put a road through it, that's what I'd do.
It is funny that players have to get off a bus on the street and just go into the back of the grandstand kind of thing.
Geelong did waste a lot of opportunities, very gettable ones too, once Collingwood got in front. Now, Collingwood didn't score in the last quarter, but they were just hanging on. But,
yeah, they didn't have to.
Put
the queue in the rack. Definitely injuries.
It definitely looked like they were playing. Although, no, we'll hold everything up from here. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, with concerns of a couple of injury concerns on the bench, and you're up, you just want to not risk losing that lead when you know that it's going to be very hard to get momentum back, especially against Geelong, who got enough talent there to be able to push you out for four quarters.
Well, I think it was Jackie Stewart, his F1 sort of saying was, your perfect race is where you win by a centimetre, because it means you've taken the least life out of the engine and you've still managed to get the full points. That seems to be what Collingwood did. They played smart. They're like, look, we just need to win. We don't need to smash them. We're not trying to beat them next week as well. We just need to win this match and come out with minimal injuries. They had more injuries than they'd want, but it could have been worse. I mean, if Grundy went down, they'd be fucked.
Now, this is great for me watching as well, because I've already seen Essendon get flogged the night before, and then Geelong sort of shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, that was a great couple of days for a Hawthorn supporter without a team in the fight. I did see, actually, last week, I don't know if I mentioned this, the Hawthorn website actually had, we're not playing finals, so if you have to pick a second team, here's your options. And it had each team and the pros and cons. And, you know, West Coast pros, well, Simpson, you know, he coached at Hawthorn for a little while. Cons, well, they've already won one, and, you know, we've got three in this decade, blah, blah, blah. Essendon, nah. No pros. I'm not even going to make a case for these blokes. Geelong, see Essendon. Well done, team. Well done. All right, on to the Bulldogs and the Giants. Now, this is one I definitely got wrong.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did not see it coming.
Yeah. We talked ourselves into the Bulldogs because they were coming in the form side.
Yeah.
Looking a million bucks, but geez, fuck, they got outdone on every line, including the coach's box.
It was only inaccuracy early on that kept the Bulldogs in it because in the first quarter, you could see it. Like, it was a Giants game, and at quarter time, they should have been 5 or 6 goals up. Yeah. And I thought, maybe they've missed their chance, but they just kept coming.
They just were so almost belligerent towards Bulldogs. They just had no fear, and they just made sure that Bulldogs knew they're under pressure the entire time. And any little sort of hint of a fight back, a resurgence, was always quelled. And also, you know, they put a few tackles on him, make him feel it. Well, even because of a free kick.
They played the tag on Bond as well, and rubbed his face in it, literally.
Oh, absolutely. They made a point of going after Bontempelli.
Yeah, and the one we alluded to earlier with Green,
yeah,
that should have got a week. Sure, two.
You know what? I was on Sunday when the MRO report came in and then went straight to the tribunal. I thought, wow, this is going to shut a lot of the conspiracy theorists up that, you know, they need GWS to get there and the AFL's on their side. And I thought, that's a really good decision to send it straight to the tribunal. If you saw something, you send it. And I didn't see it watching the game.
Yeah.
Then he got off and his defense was sorry.
What's that?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
He got the maximum fine.
He got the fine. He didn't get off. I shouldn't say that, but he got a fine.
Yeah, for repeatedly putting his hand in Bontempelli's face and pushing his face on the ground, like banging his head in the ground. It wasn't violent, I would say. There'd be no injury, but it's still, it's not what you do. And if that happened in regional footy, I'd expect that bloke to get 4 weeks.
So do you reckon they let him off for his good record?
Well, that's the thing, too. 17 guilty pleas. How many matches has he been suspended totally?
I think not that many. I want to say it was like 8. It was on the. I saw it on the news before I came, but it was $25,000 worth of fines. All up. It's puzzling. I thought, and after watching the replays, I thought, all right, this will be interesting. Didn't take him long either.
No, and when he came out, it seemed like he couldn't give a fuck either. That he's like, yeah, no, I'm really sorry. I'm looking forward to it. And then someone asked, you know, so do you think we'll start playing a bit cleaner now, or go back to your old style? He's like, oh, yeah, true, and that, and just left.
Yeah.
So sorry means you're not going to do it again, and I'm pretty sure you are.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm very, very surprised he got away that one.
Yeah, he's a brilliant player,
but
he's a complete cunt.
Yeah, of course he is. He'd be your favourite player if he's at your club.
No, he's gone beyond that point.
I'd still fucking hate him. Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do love the players who push the envelope, and especially the players who do the sneaky veteran shit. But just gouging someone's eyes is not sneaky veteran shit.
Is he 100 games off trying to get away with those kind of things as well?
Oh, I think he's 100 games and a flag off.
You need a flag to do the sneaky veteran stuff.
Yeah. Need to be at least in the hunt for a Brownlow at one stage.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's like your last game kind of thing. Almost
Alistair Lynch style.
Alistair Lynch style, yeah. That's where you can get away with that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Or people are like, it's his last game. He's just a cunt. He never knows that.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Liberatore, both of them were in the stands going, I could have fucking done that.
Do it properly. Yeah. But this was GWS at their best as well. I mean, that slick ball movement, they had options on every line. You know, everybody was a threat. Lockie Whitfield on either side of the body, just absolutely gorgeous sometimes.
Yep. And they even got in their own way a fair bit. I remember seeing, was it Himmelberg, I think, decided he wanted to remonstrate with someone, and they had a shot on goal that got reversed.
Yes. Yes.
And I was like, you dumb fuck, you are not the enforcer there. Get the fuck out. You've got Mumford on the list for a reason.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's
he's not doing a lot else. Although he did pretty good in there, so much so.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He did his job. Tim English, he pushed him around, which is what he's there to do. But
well, he's got 30 kilos on him.
Yeah, you do feel that this is the one where, you know, Tim English, second year in the system, and Mumford, 14 years in, this is the one that they'll replay when English is, you know, competing for All-Australian in 5 or 6 years ago. Remember when he was that lad?
Yeah, get on the sausages.
Yeah. And now he's you know, going to be an absolute monster in a few years. I mean, the kind of good news for Bulldogs out of this one was Norton didn't do his ACL. And I say kind of good news because it still means he's going to be out for three months, but means he can probably play round one next year. But it didn't look good when he went down.
Lids has done his everything again.
Done his calf, the poor lad, in traditional style, which is a real shame because obviously, you know, there is a chance he could have played the Tigers one more time.
Yep.
The chance could play in a flag.
Yeah, as well.
He's going to miss out of that too.
I just see him go off. Yeah. You just, Jesus Christ, you know what's happened to you.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit rough. The medico's got to chat him off.
The medico's didn't know. who'd he say? He said Matty Suckling was the only bloke that knew.
Right.
Because he asked him, he goes, mate, you all right? He goes, I think I've done it. He goes, fuck. So Matty Suckling knew that he did it in the second quarter or something. But it didn't make a difference to the game, obviously.
No, that's it. It was just a mascot for the rest of the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, obviously that's his career done, I would imagine.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah. He even said so himself.
It'd be interesting to see who comes in for him.
Well, I'm hoping Isaac Cumming.
Yeah, he was omitted for this match, but he could definitely come back in.
Well, that's it, though. Still got a few back in the sheds that are doing all right. I don't know if Johnny Patton's going to come in, though. But anyway.
He's not in. If they need him in Melbourne, they're already set.
I think he's already moving his gear in. Yeah.
He doesn't even have Guernsey anymore. He's not
left it in Sydney. Yeah. All right, and the final one, the Lions and the Tigers on Saturday night. I do think the scoreline is slightly misleading on this because Brisbane shot themselves in the foot.
8-17.
Yeah,
that's bad footy.
That was just terrible, not being able to capitalize in the first and second quarter, or the first quarter and half of the second quarter, where they just missed easy shots they should have got.
Yep.
But I feel like this was a game of the last lines of defense, where obviously you've got Riewoldt, Lynch. They're two tall players that require a lot of coverage, and they sacrificed basically the last line by putting players in front of the leading patterns so that they couldn't take marks, which just allowed our small forward to just run through and kick goals from the goal square, which is basically where we scored most of the goals from.
Yeah, I can say not many goals outside 30 metres.
And you got Dusty thrown in there as well, where that's just too many hill for the opposition to cover.
I think that was a great move, actually, by Hardwick, because Dusty was getting beaten in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching the game with the old man, who's a massive Tigers supporter, and we're saying, Dusty's not getting his hands on the ball.
Yeah.
So let's push him forward. Let's make him play one-on-one out of there. And he kicked six in the end, and could have kicked seven. Wasn't their best player on the ground.
No, I don't think so either. Obviously, they big adjustment with Koch in the second quarter as well of finding his way to get the ball and do a little bit of hard underwork as well, which we were missing a little bit. But obviously, Presti is basically one of the players that takes care of that. He was getting held very well. And obviously, Shatter.
Yeah, I'm going to say Shane Edwards was the one. He was the one making the play.
Yep.
And once the handball started to hit targets, they were just too slick.
Yeah, and you see how the handball's just set up our running style. We just always had one man loose. And continued to put the pressure on them on the rebounds where they couldn't make a mistake, and that just forces more pressure on them. And the turnover started coming, and we just ran away with it.
I think Grimes had a bunch of intercept marks too.
At half time, I thought the best player for each side was in the back lines. Grimes was the best player for the Tigers, and Hodge was the best player for Brisbane.
Yeah, I thought Hodgie had a really decent game as well. And I thought Caddy basically has reinvented himself as a true flanker. Like, he can play forward flank or back flank, and he dominated that position and really set up either a running forward or stopped their congested one out, get him into the forward line real quick.
Loves a goal, too.
Yeah, exactly. And Jack Graham, I thought, was one of the most underrated players for us. One thing that really stood out was how massive his core strength is.
Yep.
I think there was one point where we were innocuous part of the play where he was sort of tripping over. It was a dead ball, the bound of the throw or something, and he was sort of off balance. And Zorko came to push him, and he couldn't move him. And Graham was off balance and just wrestled him to the ground. I was like, holy fuck, that's actually a lot of core strength. You've got to do that to Zorko.
He's deceptive in his size.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, in my head before the game, I had him as a small forward.
Yeah.
And then you watch him go, you know what, he's a bit bigger than I thought. You could do it with picking up a little bit more toe, but, you know, that's all right.
Yeah.
He definitely did his job.
And, I mean, Brisbane obviously could have got a little momentum in that first quarter, but I feel like they were going to struggle to run out that match with the Tigers' efficiency.
10 scoring shots to 3 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And you go up by 12 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
No. A lot of players seemed off too. Mitch Robertson, I thought, he looked like he was going to do something, but every single time seemed to struggle. And he had a bit of a injury scare too.
He's done his hammy tendon.
Yeah.
The tendon.
Year, I think.
I think he's gone. Yeah. You can even see it when he did it too. It was late in the game. He's gone, oh, fuck. It was just resignation. But I thought he was the one of them who put in a bit of effort.
Yeah.
And there were times where you go, you know what, he could be the spark that they need, but then somebody down forward fucked it up.
Yep.
And I've got to say, Eric Hipwood was one of the worst culprits up forward.
Yeah.
I haven't got his stats off the top of my head, but let's have a look. 7 touches, 4 marks. Not much at all.
Not good enough. I thought Christensen played all right for the Lions.
Yep.
He was dangerous.
He was dangerous.
But he's actually, you know, he was a bit more of a forward thinker. Like, he was smart when he was using the ball, not giving the first option that puts them under pressure, but figuring out his way through traffic.
When you've got him and Charlie Cameron in the forward line, geez, that's good. And you've got a massive, tall, full forward too in Oscar McInerney.
If he's resting down there, or McStay as well, who took some nice marks. But Cameron has now got a bunny. He is Grimes' bunny. Yep. That's twice he's done him now. Yep. And there was a few times here where Cameron actually got the ball, and I remember when he burnt Christensen because he thought, you know, I've got to put some scoreboard pressure on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the wrong option, quite clearly.
Yeah, just had him rattled.
Yeah.
He didn't have any free space or time, and really struggled to get into the game. And Grimes he's got such good ability to position himself where the ball's going to land and affect it.
And you got to say, too, Grimes, he copped a fine for staging. I like that's now the standard they've set. So there's been a couple of people in the last few rounds that have been done for that kind of staging.
Yeah, I don't agree it was the worst stage ever,
no.
Like Ling's thing he did. And my favourite part about this entire match was just listening to how fucking disappointed the entire commentary box was when we started giving a hiding.
Honestly.
Like, just sheer... Oh, it was glorious. I felt flattered.
I think I hated most about this game, though, was the commentary. It was the absolute worst combination.
Well, see, that's the problem with finals, is they get rid of the Fox Sports ones.
Yeah.
Fox Footy, so you've only got Channel 7.
I actually quite like Ling as a bloke, but I just want to sit him down and say, brilliant. It is brilliant. Not brilliant, brilliant.
Brilliant.
I want to sit him down and
brilliant.
Say, yeah, your commentary, it's not brilliant.
Let's be honest, it's not. It's pretty fucking ordinary.
Yeah, but for this game, like, there was just the sheerest point in their voice was they couldn't even hide it. And I loved it. It was fucking shit house.
Keep going.
Yeah, all right, fuck it. Sorry about those difficulties there with the audio. We'll just power on through. But yeah, like, obviously they were winning the first half, Brisbane. It wasn't shown on the scoreboard, but I knew they were fucked when Dimmer inserted Richo into their change rooms at half time. That is a Putin level move.
Well done, isn't it? Who would allow that?
I couldn't believe it when I saw him in there. I'm like, how did this get okayed? Like, that's not ever a good idea for an opposing club to have Richo in there.
So it's not a good idea for the Richmond to have Richo in there.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a double edged sword.
Yeah. But you could see, like, they were on top. They were well on top in the first half.
Yeah.
But you could see Richmond are going to have their turn. And then not going to be as wasteful. And that's the way it turned out. And now I think Richmond are quite fairly favourites for the flag. It's going to be tough to beat.
Yep, and it makes the interesting question of, again, having the week off before the final start, play one game and have it all week off, whether that works very well. Because it was Collingwood we would have gone up against last year where we got pumped.
Yep.
So I'm really interested to see how Collingwood go now. They need a week off for some injury rehabilitation, but I want to see how the performance goes.
Yeah.
Come back against, you know, the pointy end.
It's going to be very interesting next week, because you do feel like Collingwood have just limped to the end of the line, but they're in a prelim.
Yeah.
Mind you, Brisbane came in with a clean sheet. They were the only team to come into the final series without an injury, and hasn't really played out for them this match.
Well, I mean, they've lost one game, and you know, through inaccuracy, and now they've lost Mitch Robinson, who's been a bit of a heart and soul player for them as well.
Yeah.
But,
really doesn't do much. If they do get to the final, though, it doesn't give them much confidence if Richmond's in there.
No, but
it's going to be disappointing to get over.
You only need to beat him once.
This is true.
Yep.
and you know, everyone can have their day. All right, so now that we've covered the four games, I know Josh's favourite part is talking about trades. Is any trade news you want to catch us up before we do the next ones?
Oh, mate, there's thousands of thousands. Like, every team is apparently having 60 players on the list.
Yeah.
The Crows.
No, well, apparently Matt Crouch is going to every team that his brother isn't.
What a whore. Whore himself around that. Disgraceful.
It's just weird that two brothers playing together in the same team have decided, nah, we're leaving, and fuck you, I'm not playing with you anymore either.
It's not often when brothers get to a team that one of them ends up leaving. I mean, it has happened. Obviously, Rockers did it. But usually once they get together, that they stay together.
Yeah, but usually it's not their choice.
Yeah, that too. I think the Wakeland twins did it as well. They split up after they were together on the one side.
Yep.
Yeah, they did. But anyway, what about Higgins? Has Higgins signed on yet?
All but, apparently.
All but. Because I was watching a few North Melbourne supporters, and I think they were approaching it very differently than they usually do. And they're like, you know what, if he goes, fair enough. If he stays, yeah, good. So it was very much win-win either way.
Well, it is. And Higgins is probably going to win the best player of the year for North, even though he missed about six games.
What's the medal called, do you know?
I do. The Sid Barker.
Sid Barker, there you go.
Barker, right.
I had to think for a second there.
Yeah, I had to too. I know this.
Cunnington might take it out, but it'll be between him and Higgins.
Yeah.
Losing Higgins won't hurt them so much because he's better than anyone coming through, but the person coming through needs that time.
Yeah. He's the best ball user at the club, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. But having guys like Simkin, LDU, Scott and Thomas take up that role instead, it'll hurt the team in the short term, but realistically next year is not a finals season.
Exactly, yeah. So play the long game.
Yeah, you take that. And Higgins, you know, who's to say next year isn't his last year anyway?
Yeah.
So if he gets he's got a 2-year contract at North at the moment in front of him, and I think he's got a 2-year offer from Geelong.
And it's realistic to think that Geelong might be, you know, going for a flag again next year, considering they're still in the finals now.
Mm. Yeah, and I wouldn't blame him at all. That's a call you have to make.
Yeah.
And it makes sense either way, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Goldstein's a big one, obviously, with Geelong throwing an extra $200,000 a season at him, which when your price goes up that dramatically, you fucking sign that shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
You should. That's
your career.
Because, especially when, you know, he came to a bit of form late in the season.
Yeah. The other one that everyone's talking about is obviously Burgoyne, with the GC offering him 3 years.
Yeah. And the fact that he hasn't signed with Hawthorn yet tells you that he's probably gone.
Mm. I mean, he'd be the only player to make 400 matches who played for more than one squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be three, obviously, if he gets there. But again, I'm a bit the same as with Higgins and stuff like that. You go, he deserves another year. If somebody else is willing to offer him three at 36 or 37, whatever he is, take it, champ. You know, it's too good. You know, and knowing the way Clarkson works too, he's probably put a good word in for him so he can get the extra up there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's got big coaching aspirations or anything, but they'll definitely use him in some off-field role.
He's too good to leave the game, you know?
Mm. Yeah, we say that with a lot of players, and some of them just go, I'm not playing anymore, and my days are done. They tend to also sometimes just disappear.
Yeah, yeah, some of them do.
And that's their call to make. That's fine. And mind you, a coach, as they say, is going to be sacked or has been sacked. Those are the two options you've got.
Pretty much. There's not many that don't.
So maybe they don't want to have that holding on top of them. Maybe he just wants to start eating KFC again. Just fried food, burgers, chips. I don't know.
You never know. All right, we'll go to the semi-final round of footy. Starts on Friday night. Geelong are hosting the Eagles at the MCG. I just feel like saying that.
So Geelong home match.
Geelong home game.
Yeah.
Do you think the AFL just went, nah, fuck them?
Well, I think
to the G.
I think they've already got 60,000 sold. So we've spoken about this many times, but you know, home ground, not home ground. I'm all for more people at the game, the better.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. And it's going to be predominantly Geelong supporters anyway. So you've got an extra 20,000 of your own supporters there. Yeah, suck it up.
Winner plays Richmond next week at the same ground on the same night.
Yep.
Just stay. Like, if West Coast win, just stay. Stay in the hotel.
I think Geelong will get up on this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they've been beaten down too many times. They've got some talent there. I feel like this is going to be where they actually go the next step.
I think it'll be interesting to see if Chris Scott doubles down and goes, Stanley's still out.
Still out.
And Nick Nat comes in and goes, thank fuck for that. I'm going to tear this shit apart.
Surely he can't. I mean, all power to him if he does.
He's a stubborn bastard.
Yeah. Is he? You reckon? Yep. They've got to do something. One thing that we didn't mention in the Collingwood game that I wanted to do was Maynard playing on Ablett. He ran off Ablett every chance he got.
Yeah.
You know, Ablett can be such a dangerous weapon, but...
No, he's cooked, he's done.
But if the Eagles play Lewis Jetta on Ablett, he's not going to keep up with him.
No.
He's definitely not going to chase him. And Lewis Jetta's become one of the best ball users for the Eagles down back as well. I'm trying to think of a reason not to tip the Eagles, but they just look like they're running on top of the ground at the minute.
I think it's meant to rain as well. That's what's getting me across the line. It's confirmed my pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that helps the Eagles more than Geelong.
They're both big-bodied teams, aren't they?
Well, when you think about it, like, you put McGovern on Hawkins, probably?
No, Schofield.
Schofield, you reckon? All right, then who do you put on Darling and Kennedy?
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to play... Like, if they play a ruckman, then they can have Blisarves down back, because he's their best backman.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, Harry Taylor's going to have to fill in. They got another couple of younger lads, or do they bring Lockie Henderson back in? And then, you know, for at the expense of another small player. But, you know, they need more from Selwood. They need Dangerfield to play his absolute best. And Ablett just make them worry him so that whoever's playing on Ablett can't run off like he did last week.
And their big men, too, aren't too bad below their knees.
Kennedy especially.
Yeah, and even Nick Nat, like for a massive lumbering bloke.
Mm, yeah.
Well, just his run last week, though, that's what surprised me. I couldn't believe he had that pace in him.
Yeah, that was good to watch.
Especially coming back from an injury after so long. Brenton, you think Geelong, Josh?
I'm on West Coast.
West Coast, yeah, I think West Coast as well. And Saturday night, we got the Brisbane Lions are hosting GWS. Wow. It's what a tough game. After we've seen the best of GWS last week, Brisbane, I don't think, can play that badly again.
No.
They do match up perfectly with each other, though.
Isn't
both
it?
Teams.
Yeah.
Like, everything one team does, the other team does just as well, if not better. And you could argue it'll be decided just on who's on.
Well, we've got the All-Australian centre-half forward and the All-Australian centre-half back.
I think so.
I think Harris Andrews is centre-half back.
The position on all three teams always a bit dodgy.
Exactly.
I think he actually was named the back pocket.
Either way.
And McGovern was centre-half back from memory.
All-Australian, regardless. Yeah. And probably, I hope they play on each other because it would be a great matchup, but they'll probably spend a bit of time running off each other, to be honest.
Yeah. So I reckon that Brisbane will do it. I think they'll bounce back at home, put a big score on the board and probably pump GWS.
I think Mumford's probably one of the few that can stand shoulder to shoulder with Stefan Martin.
Yeah, that's a great matchup. But I like Stefan around the ground more than Mummy at the minute.
But I think GWS don't expect that from Mummy. They expect him just to stand and deliver.
Yeah.
And they've got the team around him to do that. I think the mids on both sides are brilliant, but I think they're slightly better in GWS.
Yeah.
At least in potential. They don't always fire at once. And with Toby Green getting off, I think that's just, the fix is in. It's going to be 40 free kicks to 3.
And like we said, it's a good game to win this one because Collingwood got injury troubles.
Yeah.
And you get to play them at the G the following week.
Yeah. And I feel like GWS won't be worried about being outnumbered in the crowd because they're used to it.
They'll be stoked to have a crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, fuck, 40,000.
It'll be a sellout again Saturday night at the Gabba. So who we got?
Yeah, I'm on GWS.
Brenton?
Brisbane.
I'd like to see Brisbane win one final. I think it'd be good for them. And then either of these two teams against Collingwood next week is another 50-50 call,
yeah,
I reckon.
Exactly.
And that'll be the pick of the next weekend.
Mm-hmm. See, no one here is a massive fan of Collingwood. I think Essendon's become the worst hated team since.
Yeah.
But is it better not liking Collingwood for them to make a grand final and lose it again or not make it?
Only because out of the teams left, GWS or Brisbane are the two I'd like to see one of them win it. So in that respect, then fuck Collingwood.
Yeah. Essendon's already out, so yeah, exactly. Collingwood's next on the hit list.
Yeah. All right, that'll do us for this week.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, peace.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.